study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our Bible study today comes from the book of Exodus. Our teacher is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University until the time he went to be with his Lord. And now by tape recording, here is today's study by Mr. Boyd.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 28. That's Exodus chapter 28, and we're going to read today verses 15 to 29. Exodus 28, verses 15 to 29. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work, after the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it, of gold, of blue, of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine linen shalt thou make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and thou shalt put the two rings in the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate, and the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate, in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shalt put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. Now this extensive passage gives us instructions with regards to the construction of the breastplate. The record of that construction, of course, is given in chapter 39 and verses 8 to 21. This passage of Scripture occurs in the portion that has to do with revelation unto Israel of God, His law, and the way of approach. This is the theological period in Israel's history. Israel is encamped at Mount Sinai, and these 26 chapters, chapters 19 to 40, cover about 9.5 months of Israel's history. In chapter 19, there is the revelation of the Lord. And then in chapters 20 to 24, the annunciation of the law, and in chapters 25 to 40, the designation of the way. These 16 chapters are devoted to this great theme, which indicates the importance God places upon the way a sinner can approach a holy God. And the tabernacle, with its furnishings and its priesthood, dominates these chapters. Again, these chapters may be further divided into chapters 25 to 31, where we have a gracious provision for Israel, chapters 32 to 34, the grievous perversion of Israel, and then chapters 35 to 40, the glorious performance in Israel. Now, in connection with the high priest and his garments, we come to a study of the breastplate. I want you to notice the designation of this breastplate. It's found in verse 15 and verse 29. Thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. And then in verse 29, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. So this is called the breastplate of judgment. The Hebrew word translated breastplate really means ornament. It's used only to express this part of the high priest's dress, and it occurs nowhere else in Scripture except in this connection. So you might translate this an ornament of judgment. Interesting how the Septuagint translates this word into the Greek language. It translates it into a word that means a speaking place or an oracle. So the breastplate of judgment in the Hebrew language means an ornament of judgment, and in the Greek language, which translates this Hebrew, means an oracle of judgment. Now, according to verses 27 to 28 of this chapter and verses 20 to 21 of chapter 39, the breastplate was attached to the ephod. And being attached to the ephod, it formed the prophetic dress of the high priest. By means of the ephod and the breastplate, the high priest learned the counsel of God. He was able to declare what course the people of Israel were to take, and he was able also to proclaim what events were about to happen. Now, this he was able to discern before the ark and mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. And of course, you know, the high priest was able to enter that Holy of Holies only once a year on the Day of Atonement with the blood of the goat for Jehovah that was shed, and he sprinkled that blood before the mercy seat. And it was there, as he was engaged in that high priestly work, that the priest wore his garments, including the ephod and the breastplate, which enabled him then to learn God's counsel and then come forth from the presence of God to proclaim that counsel to the people. As I pointed out a moment ago, the Hebrew word for this garment, the breastplate, means ornament. It was an ornament of judgment. Now, this symbolizes the grace of God in showing mercy to his people because of the judgment of their sins on a substitute. You see, the high priest had slain the goat for Jehovah. He had taken the blood from that goat, and he had brought it in to the Holy of Holies there to sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. And there God manifests his grace in showing mercy to the people for the sins of the year that had passed, as he had judged it on a substitute. The Greek text calls it an oracle of judgment. And this symbolizes the government of God in revealing to his people his purpose and will through them and to them. What God purposed for them to do, his will for them to perform, also was involved in this. And so when the high priest came forth, he could not only pronounce unto the people that their sins had been forgiven, but he could declare unto them the course of action they were to take within the will of God. Now, in the second place, I'd like to call your attention to the specifications regarding the breastplate. We read in verse 15 regarding the materials. And these materials were the same from which the ephod was constructed and from which the veil was constructed. It was to be constructed of gold, which is deity in manifestation, blue, which is the heavenly color, which indicates that this manifestation of God himself And the way to God is a heavenly manifestation. Purple, which is the royal color. Scarlet, which is the color of sacrifice. And, of course, the fine linen, which speaks of personal righteousness. And all of these things combined in the dress of the high priest, including this breastplate, speak of the Lord Jesus Christ in those perfections that he has, his deity, his heavenly origin, his royal character, the sacrifice that he made, and, of course, his personal righteousness. And here he is presented in these colors. The dimensions of this breastplate are a span 4 square. Now, a span is about 9 inches. So it was to be a square of 9 inches and to be doubled. Then we discover also in verses 17 and following that stones were to be placed in settings upon the breastplate in 4 rows of 3. And this was to be according to the tribes of Israel, according to their order of arrangement around the camp and in their march as the children of Israel marched through the wilderness. On the first row, we had the sardius, the topaz, and the carbuncle. The sardius represented Judah, the topaz Issachar, and the carbuncle Zebulun. The second row was the emerald, the sapphire, and the diamond. The emerald was the color for Reuben, the sapphire for Simeon, and the diamond for Gad. Then the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. The ligure was the color for Ephraim, the agate, the stone for Manasseh, and the amethyst, the stone for Benjamin. And then the fourth row was the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper. The beryl was the stone for Dan, the onyx for Asher, and the jasper for Naphtali. And these 4 rows of stone set in the breastplate, in their settings, Aaron was to bear upon the heart before the Lord. And this indicates that the heart, which is the seat of affection, is to be the place where the names of the children of Israel were upon the high priest. Now, Aaron is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our blessed Savior, as he serves as our high priest, not only bears our names collectively on his shoulder, which is symbolic of strength and power, but he bears our names individually on his heart, and the heart is the seat of his affection. And oh, how he loves his people, how God loved Israel. Matter of fact, the Word of God tells us that those who touch Israel touch the apple of Jehovah's eye. And so it is with the Lord Jesus and his people, the church. Those who touch members of the body of Christ touch the apple of the Lord Jesus' eye. Now, on this breastplate of judgment, these names were borne over the heart. God's judgment of our sin is a manifestation of his heart love for us in order that he might bring us close to himself. And when he has to judge our sins, he does so in order that we might have that fellowship with him, that intimate relationship with him, and know his blessed love for us. And so, my dear friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then your name is not born up before God. But you can have it born before the Lord on our blessed high priest's heart if you'll turn to Jesus Christ, believe on him, and receive him as your Savior from sin today.
Today's study was given by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.